Now, friends, we are coming to the second vision that's here in the fifth chapter, and actually it's the ninth vision. We're getting down to the end of these visions, and as I said last time, that one of the flying scroll in the first part of the fifth chapter, and this one, the woman in the ephah, they are two of the most highly symbolic visions that we have of all of the ten. And they are very meaningful. Actually, both of them make a right about face almost, at least a 90-degree turn. And instead now of the fact that it's a word of comfort, it's now a word of judgment. And we saw that last time in the flying scroll. Now, suppose that I told you today that last night a missile from outer space landed in my backyard, and two little men in green got out and talked with me. Would you believe it? Well, if you won't, then I won't tell it to you then. There are intelligent people today, as well as other kind, who actually believe in flying saucers. Some even testify they've seen them. Even they've seen the little people inside. Now, the Navy, I understand, has carried on a serious investigation over the years. And there are two groups that say, I believe sincerely and vociferously that there are the flying saucers, and others doubt and deny it equally vociferously. Tell the truth. I had an invitation many years ago when I was pastor down in downtown Los Angeles to go out to Apple Valley, to a large rock that is out in that desert area, to a landing field where the missiles came in. That is, that's what they told me, and that they would give me a ride in one of the flying saucers. And I didn't go out there. Two reasons. The first reason, I wasn't quite sure that there were flying saucers out there. I'm very much of a skeptic. And the other thing is that I was afraid that if I did go out there, they'd put me in one of them and take me off and not bring me back, and I wouldn't give me a round-trip ticket. So I didn't go out there. But I voiced on several occasions my skepticism and my cynicism about the old business, and so these that believed in it certainly thought that they were landing and taking off out there around that big rock beyond Apple Valley. And I've been by that big rock since then, and I don't know why, but I always pick up speed going by there. Now, Zechariah didn't believe in flying saucers either, but he saw two of them in a vision. He saw two flying saucers, missiles from outer space. And as I said at the beginning, Zechariah is one of the apocalypses of the Bible, and it's actually more ethereal, seraphic, and spiritual, and highly symbolic. In other words, it's out of this world. Now, we need to avoid fanaticism on one hand and materialism on the other. Now, in that vision we had last time, it was of a flying scroll. The size of it was 20 by 10 cubits. And on it were written the two tables of the law. On one side, man's relationship to man. On the other side, man's relationship to God. Now, we called attention to the fact that it speaks of judgment, that in the nation Israel at that time, God was going to ferret out those that were disobedient, those who would not return to him, and he would judge them, but he would choose the nation. That would be true of the future, that there's coming a day that when God establishes his kingdom here upon the earth, he intends to ferret out, not only among his own people, but among the Gentiles that are left on the earth after the church is removed. And after all, the removal of the church is a separation of the true church from the false church. The true church, of course, will be taken out, and those that are not really Christians but are church members will be left here upon the earth. Actually, this is a picture of judgment, and it has a message for us today that he intends to do the same thing in the church. so that this has a threefold meaning. Now, the thing that is interesting here, I called attention to the fact that this scroll was 20 by 10, and I do not know whether any of you noticed it last time, that it was the same size as the holy place, also of the porch of Solomon in the temple, and that's in 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 3. Now, that was the basis, you see, where the priests could come and worship by the law, but they could never go inside the veil unless the blood was put in there, and only the high priest went in as a representative. But in that place, they stood on redeemed ground, having been redeemed by the blood. Now, you and I today stand on redeemed ground. We haven't been redeemed by silver and gold or any precious thing, any precious jewel, but by the precious blood of Christ. In other words, you and I are not standing on a flying carpet. You and I do not rest on a missile from heaven. We have been delivered from the penalty and power of sin. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life.